Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Fight your battles, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How are you this morning? Did you guys enjoy the snow? No. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, a little bit too much snow for me. Hallelujah. I enjoy snow from the inside of my house. Hallelujah. I remember working up at the mine. Isn't that right, Brother Reuben? Working at the mine, Dennis, out in the snow. Everything's frozen, especially your fingers. Hallelujah. Your toes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God I'm in Arizona. Yeah. How many of you are glad you're in Arizona? Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. How many aren't glad you're in Arizona? I hardly saw any hands go up, man. So, yeah, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know you're in a good place? Yeah, God. God is good. Isn't that right? God is good. He's wonderful. He's good all the time. God is wonderful. The closer you get to God, the more, I don't know what it is. The more you enjoy just being next to Him. Does that sound okay to you? Man, I enjoy worshiping the Lord. I enjoy staying in His presence. I enjoy spending time with God. How many, and I'm sure you do too, amen? Hallelujah. God is God. He really is. There's nothing like God, nobody like God, nothing. Seems a little hot under here. Is that right, Steve? It's just a little bit. That's why I kind of. Glory to God. This week, man, I've got so many scriptures that on flow and streams and rivers and pouring out and wind. I got so many scriptures on flow that I can when I go to make the message, God doesn't use any. He goes, I don't want none of that. He says, this gives me something different almost every time. Yet it seems that every message that God's been giving me lately is just connected to flow. So I know you guys are getting tired of me talking about flow, but I'll tell you what, flow is the place where it's at. God never forces. He never forces. Did He force you to get saved? No, He didn't. God never forces anything. Hallelujah. Everything with God is flow. It really is. God wants to give you peace like a river. That's what I like, man. You know, I like those streams. There's a verse, and I'm going to go ahead and say some of these because He doesn't want me to put it in the message. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that to you. How's that? There's one scripture in Isaiah where it says, upon the mountaintops will be streams and rivers. That's Isaiah 30. And I'm looking at that. I go, I never seen. How many of you seen a river on top of a mountain? You ever seen a stream on a on top of a mountain? I don't know. It's kind of odd if you have. Maybe you're odd if you have. No, I'm just kidding. But the fact of the matter is, most of the time, streams and rivers are down at the bottom of the mountains or coming down off of the mountain, but not on the top of the mountain. Because if it was on the top of a mountain, if it's a stream or if it's a river, it's got to flow up to the top and then back down. You just don't see that nowadays. Do you see that? Is that right? No. So there's a scripture that when I looked at it, I said, God, you're talking about a different kind of flow. You're talking about a different kind of stream. And it is the flow of the kingdom of God. It's the flow of what God is doing. And folks, I know that God is preparing our hearts. And I believe, because it's the Spirit of God, He's preparing hearts all around the globe for an unexpected, if you will, or an unusual watering event. God's going to pour upon the earth the waters of the kingdom of God, and they're going to flow freely. It's not going to be this little herky-jerky thing that we've seen lately, or we see every once in a while. Well, once every 3 months, you might speak a word to somebody, you might witness to somebody, and they get saved. Or once in, you know, every you know, maybe once a week, maybe you might see a healing or something. No, this is going to be something that where God is moving within His people, and it's a stream of life that's flowing into the earth through his people. Oh, and it's so wonderful. I can see it. I can smell it. I can taste it. Hallelujah. It's like the snow on the ground yesterday. Look out there right now. How much snow do you see except on the mountains? How much snow do you see? It's here and it's gone. Is that right? God's talking about a steady flow. A flow. You hear me? A flow that just is constant. Coming into you and through you, and people around you are going to be amazed of what God is saying to them through you. And it's cool. It's really good. How many are excited for that? I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. I'm ready for it. I think our world needs it worse, like it's never needed it before, worse than it's ever needed it before. It's time, folks, for the kingdom of God to be established in the earth. How many say amen to that? It's time. Hallelujah. Last week, Brother Steve preached last week. And thank you, brother, for that. Let's give him a hand for praise God. Can I tell you, it's not easy looking at all your faces and saying and preaching? No, man. But it is something that God would have every one of us to do. How many know that? And that's what this house is about. Building and strengthening people to have confidence in what God is telling them and have confidence in what God is trying to do through your life. And that's what we're about here. We want to build you, we want to strengthen you. We don't want to tear you down. If I hurt you in this message this morning, let me know. Now you cry, baby. No, I'm just kidding. Let me know, because we're not here to hurt anybody. We are here to build and to strengthen. Because God wants us to build the body of Christ. God wants us to strengthen every one of us. So 2 weeks ago, I talked a little bit about the crimson flow. You guys remember that? The crimson flow is the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's more than just a covering for us. It really is. And a lot of folks, you know, well, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And they'll go ahead and talk about one another or steal a candy bar and say, well, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. No, come on, man. It's not that. That's not. The blood of Jesus is in our lives to purify our lives. Did you know that? How many of you know that? So I'd like you to put up the scripture that... If you would put up scripture, Hebrews 9:14. And if you would, you know, take some notes on some of this stuff, if you will. Maybe, just maybe, God is saying something to you this morning. See, it's just, if I wasn't absolutely confident of the fact that God has given me things to say to the body of Christ, I wouldn't be up here. Can I tell you that? Is it okay to tell you that? Because I believe that God is speaking in the earth. And the Bible says that he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he uses pastors, teachers, evangelists to speak the things of God in the earth. So if you get a chance, write some of these things down. Here's a scripture in Hebrews 9. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more will he purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Can I tell you this morning that we need our consciences purged? How many say amen to that? Come on, there's things in our lives, there's things in our minds that we've gone through and stuff. Just stuff. Everybody say stuff. So look at your friend, say stuff. Yeah, look at the one on the other side that's not your friend, the one that you didn't turn to first, and look and tell them lots of stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Stuff in your lives. Amen. We got stuff in our lives. And whether we like it or not, sometimes even as much as we want to stay away from it, it comes up. Is that right? Sometimes it just comes up. And the blood of Christ is given to us to purge that conscience, to clean it, to purify it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 16:6. It says this: by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Spoke these 2 weeks ago. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Before Christ came and died, actually died on the cross and spilled his blood, this word was there, but I believe it was not understood. Because Christ is the mercy that we've been after. He really is. And it's his blood that purges the conscience, purges us, makes us clean, gives us an ability to step into the kingdom of God, step into the in the throne room of God. That's why that curtain was torn in half when he died, because it was saying access has now been provided through the blood of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. It's important that we know these things. Because, you know, you got friends out there that don't know about Jesus, don't know that they've been washed and cleansed by Jesus on the cross. They don't know it. He's not going to die again. He's not going to go to a cross again to die for them. He's already done it. It's already a done deal for them. They just need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. And hearing and hearing and hearing. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. They're just words. Oh, but they're beautiful words. They're wonderful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. You guys remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Wonderful words of life. Praise God. Well, that was last time. That was last week. But this week, I believe God is wanting me to talk about some of those dead things. Dead works. Look again at your neighbor and say, dead works. I want to hear a little louder. Dead works. Dead works. What kind of works? Dead works. He wants to purify your conscience from the dead works. Things that have troubled you possibly and bothered you possibly. So if you would... Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Title of the sermon is The Path of Forgiveness. Path of Forgiveness. There is a path that we can walk in that's forgiveness. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Ready? Yeah, it's on the board, Pastor. Come on. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21, said, Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? How many like people doing things against you? Isn't that nice? I think Peter was being very generous here. What do you think? Seven times, Lord? I think he was expecting... That's wonderful. That's a wonderful number. Yeah. If they get to eight, you don't have to forgive them. Now, but Peter found out something different. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's that? 70 times seven is what? 490 times. Do you think by the time you get to 490, you might say, man, I can't remember how many numbers. I don't remember how many times this person has sinned against me. So you start all over again. 444, 445. Are we supposed to forgive one another? Come on. Are we supposed to forgive one another? Is that a question? It's a question. Therefore, Jesus tells him his parable. He said, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Didn't have any money. Couldn't pay. That bill was, my Bible says it was 52,800,000 dollars or talents, whatever that is. That's how much he owed. 52,800,000. That's a lot. Amen? How many would you like to have 52,800,000? Yeah. Is that way out? Come on, man. Not in the kingdom of God, huh? God has gold on his streets. Come on, man. With God, all things are possible. Is that right? Hallelujah. So can I tell you, it's just not important to worry about your finances very much. Don't be silly with them. Is that right? But man, I'll tell you what, God says he will provide for you. Let him provide for you. Allow that door to swing wide open. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why we do not take a lot of offerings in this church. That's why you don't see a basket going by you where people are dropping their pennies. Just kidding. Because we believe that God is going to provide all our needs. Just believe it. We just believe it. We just hold to it. Is that right? God will send the finances. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't plan to speak on finances, but anyway, maybe somebody's wallet right now is shaking. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to ask you for your money. We will take an offering. I mean, if you will, for the Gideons at the end, if you would drop an offering in the box, well, whatever you feel the Lord has you to give, the pink box in the back, pink, it's pink, right? Whatever that pink box in the back, and you drop it in there, we'll count it up, and we'll get it to Brother Victor. And for the Gideons, oh, I got to tell you, man, I might not remember where I'm at in the. But when I go into hotels, I don't know if you guys do this, but when I go into a hotel, I look for that book. Yeah. I get in there and I'll put a marker in there and I'll highlight that thing and I'll underline it because there's always a pen in there. So I'll go ahead and Victor, is that okay? Come on, man. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you what, man, because I believe that somebody might come in. They go, hey, what have they been? Somebody's been in here highlighting or there's a marker here. What does it say? And man, come on, man. So when I go to hotels, I'm glad to see that book in there, man. I look for it. You know, there's some hotels that don't let you put in there. Is that right? And if you're in a hotel and they don't allow the Gideon's book to go, the Gideons to go in and place a book, let them know at the desk. Hey, I was in here. I was looking for that Gideon's Bible. How come it's not in here? Just let your boss know and walk away. Amen? Come on. Oh, we don't. Yeah, we don't care. I'm looking for it. I'll go somewhere else that does have Bibles in it. What do you think of that? Let them know. Glory to God. That's what I do. I thank the Gideons. I know people that have been saved. I was watching a young man the other day. He's not so young anymore. His name is Phil Driscoll. Does anybody know who Phil Driscoll is? Trumpet player. What band did he used to play with? Anybody know? Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Thank you. Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Trying to remember that this morning. And I was watching. My son sent me a little clip of him playing his horn. His hair is white, 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 standing straight out. Kind of looks kind of weird, but for the glory of God, he's playing that trumpet, man, and he's loving that man. When he was with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, went into a hotel, went to kill himself, gun wouldn't go off, pulled the drawer open, a Gideon's Bible in there, opens it up, praise God, got saved. I left that thing. So yeah, I know that God uses that ministry. Amen. So I'm going to tell you something. I'm putting a plug in for you, Victor. Doing the best I can. Is that okay? Hey, put something in there for the Gideons. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. And where was I? Glory to God. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had and payment to be made. That's kind of sad, isn't it? But in today's world, you know what they would say to you? It's just business. Is that right? It's just business. You owe us. You can't pay. Just business. That's the way it is. Sell your kids. What? Well, they're up for sale for $2 million each. Whatever. No, man. That is a hurtful thing. How do you know that? Hey, this guy commanded that everything would be sold and that it would be given to him. It's just business. That's all it is. It's crazy. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. I want you to look at that. Was moved with what? Compassion. Can I tell you, when you're moved by compassion, it's something that's not coming out of your head. Do you know that? It's not just business anymore. Now all of a sudden it's coming out of your heart. Compassion. This man felt compassion from his heart for that guy. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that nice? Praise God, huh? sometimes God will move on our hearts with compassion. Compassion is a leader, if you will. It is something that sometimes when you're feeling that compassion, step out and step into it. Allow God to use whatever that reason is you're feeling compassion for somebody. I mean, whether it be in McDonald's or wherever you're at, you sense a compassion for somebody, step into it because God is leading you. Can I tell you that? These are tools that God uses to lead you to help somebody. It can be just a smile. It can be just a handshake. It can be you can pay for their food, whatever. But God will use it because you're being led forth by compassion. How many of you have felt that compassion? How many have felt that compassion for your loved ones? Anybody jump on your kids and you might get angry, but you know, you might feel sorry for your kids. Is that right? You get this compassion. I remember one time there was a lady in our church and my son was the worship leader in the church. And there was a young man that lived in Rio Rico and I was standing in the foyer of the church and I heard him asking his mom, "Hey, if he can't make it, I'll go get him on this day because he had missed a couple of the worship practice." And that lady turned around and jumped all over him, just screaming at him. And I'm her dad. I'm his dad. And I'm standing there watching, and she's got her back to me, and I could see my son's face, and it really, really troubled him. And then when we went out into the car later on, he was weeping. He said, "Dad, I didn't mean to upset her. I didn't want to upset her. I was just asking, and I was just trying to help if I could help." And I felt so much compassion. You guys know what I'm talking about? That kind of compassion. I said, "Son, yeah, I know you weren't trying to hurt her. I was a little angry at her. You know what I mean?" I said, "Remember my daughter was playing basketball, freshman basketball at Sarita High School. And every time she'd come out of practice, she'd tell me, 'Dad, they won't let me play. They're not, you know.'" I said, "Oh, don't worry about it." And my daughter played basketball with her brother, which they were pretty good. My daughter could do a spider, which I don't know what, she can still do it anymore. Can you still do it? When you use one ball and you're drilling it all around your legs and everything. It's kind of cool, man. It's cool to watch. Is that right, Oscar? Sure. Yeah. I think it's called a spider, right? Yeah. And so she could do that. She could handle a ball. She really could. So she kept coming out weeping, crying. I said, she goes, "I'm going to quit." And I said, "Let me watch." So I went in one of her practices. She went in. I waited a while, then I went in. And I'm sitting back there in the back, and I'm watching. And the coach literally was ignoring three of the girls, or maybe it was two girls, you and her, yeah, you, Rebecca and another. And these other girls were playing basketball. And I watched for the whole practice. Some of those girls couldn't even go down the, get half court without dribbling and losing the ball somehow. Just weren't very well. I mean, you'll gain. I mean, once you practice enough, you gain a little experience in handling the ball. But I knew my daughter could handle the ball. So by the time, she come out, because I left a little early, because I wanted to go in and see without her seeing that I was in there. And by the time she got to the truck, I'm going, "Hey, you want to quit? You quit." I said, "Man, I get it. I know what you're upset about. You want to quit? You quit." Later on that night, she's in her bedroom and she says, "Dad, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do whatever she wants me to do." And it's a long story, but God really did. And I felt that compassion for my child. You know what I'm saying? The compassion rose up in me and also with a little bit of anger. But, you know, being a Christian, I realized that sometimes we allow our kids to go through things because we know that God is building them and strengthening them. Is that right? God will strengthen you. When you go through things, it's because God's strengthening you. Never forget that. Sometimes we forget that, you know, that God is with us. Is that right? He says, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always, always with you." And if he's going to be with you all the time, know that he knows what's going on in your life so you can rest comfortably that he's trying to help you. It's pretty cool. He loves you. Is that right? Compassion is something that moves us. It really does. It's a long story about my daughter and my son in those areas, but God used them later on, and it's cool. It's really cool. So So the servant therefore fell down, worshiped, saying, Lord, have patience with me. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. This guy owed the other servant $44. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me. Should not also thou have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? Shouldn't he have? Wouldn't you think that he would have compassion and have pity on that other man, just like the master had pity on him? I want you to tell me, you know, that God is very pitiful towards you. I'm not saying that you guys are pitiful. Oh, you're a bunch of pitiful people. You know, God loves you. Do you know that he pities us? You know, he knows we go through stuff. Is that right? He understands it. I want you to turn to Psalm 103, and I want you to look at this scripture here. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Everybody say amen. 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 Slow to anger. Everybody say amen. Aren't you glad he's slow to anger? Come on, man. And plenteous in mercy. Say amen, amen. Come on. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Is that right? Is that what it says? Is that true? God does not deal with you after your sins. Let's read this. Let's keep going. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his what? Mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Do you see that? As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? That's a good question. How far is the distance between the east and the west? How far is that? That's a long way, man. That's, I'll tell you what. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then it says this, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are what? Dust. Is that right? God knows you. He loves you. And his mercy is towards you. It's constantly towards you, always upon you, because he does love you so much. He loves you so much, he sent his son and died on a cross for you. Is that okay? Is that good to hear? That's very good. Hallelujah. He died for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to Matthew 18 where he said, shouldn't you have had mercy or pity as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do to you if you from your hearts, from where? Where does forgiveness come from? From your heart. Isn't that what it says? If you do not from your, not from your head. Can I, a lot of times we say, oh, I forgive you. Oh, I forgive you. But it is just a head thing. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just something you say in your head because you know you should forgive. You know you're commanded to forgive. Forgive. The Lord's Prayer says forgive. Is that right? And you shall be forgiven. Forgive. We know we should forgive, so we will forgive you. But I'll never forget that. I will not forget it. So every time something happens, that thing comes rolling back up because it's not coming out of your heart. If something that somebody has done to you years ago keeps coming back to you, keeps rolling back in, keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep it going till it finally moves out of your head and into your heart and you say, man, I forgive you, man. Can I say this to you, that forgiveness is a flow? Do you see that in this story? It was a flow. The master forgave. But the servant, when it came to him to forgive, he stopped it. He stopped that flow. And he says, shouldn't you have done as I did to you? Keep that flow going. Keep that flow. Can I tell you something that's important? That we realize that forgiveness is something that needs to be given out constantly. Is that right? How many of you know that people are going to mess you up? How many know that? Is that right? Anybody figured that out yet? If you haven't figured it out yet, get ready. It'll happen. People will mess you up. They will. But it's okay. God knows it. The Bible says this, the tribulations are going to come to you. Is that right? Why? Because it strengthens you and it builds you. He doesn't place you in a glass bubble of his grace. That nothing at all touches you. Otherwise, your strength cannot be built. He allows things to happen to you so that you become strong in the Lord and power of his might. And you understand the principles that he's trying to say to you when those things are happening. Forgiveness is a flow. It runs through you because it comes to you from him and through you. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, Lord. For they don't know what they do. Forgiveness flowing like a river into each and every one of our lives. Because how do you know? Is there anybody that's never done anything wrong? I see all those hands back there. Yeah, which everybody in the front is looking back. Where? What? No, hey, is anybody? Every one of us have done things wrong. And we need forgiveness. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Forgiveness is a flow. You got to keep it rolling. You got to keep it moving. Because if you don't, if you allow something to stop, I'm saying, you know, you just have that hard time forgiving that person. Just keep forgiving. Just keep speaking to your heart. I'm going to forgive them. God, I'm going to forgive. Show me how to forgive them. Lord, show me how to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, help me to forgive. Keep that flowing and you watch. Before you know it, you're going to find that the peace that passes all understanding. There's something spiritual that happens where that forgiveness begins to get. The Bible calls it an oil that's poured into the wound. Oh, man, and it's cool. It is a flow. When that is flowing, when forgiveness is flowing, can I tell you, can I say this? Healing begins to flow. Can I say that to you? How many of you have gotten so mad at somebody, but then you made a decision, I'm going to tell them I'm sorry. And you go and you say from your heart, man, I'm sorry. And something, all of a sudden, some of this biggest thing, I mean, a healing comes into the relationship. You guys, how many of you felt that before? There was a man at a mine, and you guys, I've told you about him before, but his name was Bob Pennington. And early in the morning, I got there early in the morning and went to sit down. I grabbed a donut out of the box, and we were going to have our line-out meeting. And so everybody's sitting around, and Bob just happened to be sitting where I always sit, you know what I mean? So I walked over, I said, hey, Bob, scoot over, man. And I put my hat down right in front of him. He grabbed my hat and he tossed it across the room. So I looked down, I saw his hat, I grabbed his hat and I tossed it across the room. He grabbed I had a pencil pack, what do you call those? Nerd pack. I had a pencil pack. He grabbed that, pulled it out of my pocket. And guys on the other side of the room go, hey, what's going on over there? Threw that across the room. So I'm in the middle of trying to get I'm trying to get his pencils out. I don't know where the donut went to. I don't remember. I'm trying to get it out. And then our supervisor walks in. I'm sitting on the edge right next to him. My heart's beating. You know what I mean? My heart's beating like crazy. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, nice job. I'm caught. What happened? I wasn't doing anything that morning. Just wanted to have a donut while we were waiting for my supervisor. Next thing I know, I'm in this little conflict going on. He gives our jobs out. I was a crane operator at the time, and I was told to go run the crane for some of the guys working on a pump in the mill. Crane's way up in the air, and I'm sitting up there, and I see Bob walking in the driveway down below me. And I'm watching him, and I'm going, man, I don't know what's going on. And the Lord said, go ask him for his forgiveness. I knew it was the Lord. Rolled that crane up, brought the hook back up, parked it, ran down, and right where the stairwells, because there's stairs all over that place, and the stairwell comes back. He had just passed the end of the stairwell. I come sliding off, and I go, Bob, and he turns around, and he goes, come on, and so he tells me, I go, man, hey, I need to tell you something. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry. And he looked at me, and he goes, kind of like this, he goes, hey, I'm sorry too. And we just had a great relationship. We became like brothers. I did the eulogy at his funeral. He passed away. But the fact of the matter is, it was a flow of forgiveness because a healing came into that. Do you know that? God wants to heal your relationships. He does, but sometimes you got to be the one that says at first, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm so tired of us having such a bad relationship. And I know that God creates great relationships. Will you accept my apology? Say it from your heart. I can tell you something, most people cannot resist that. There are some that will say, hey, shut up, you know. But no, allow God to use your voice, your words, because healing does flow in forgiveness. It really does. I want to show you. I'm going to show you how healing flows in forgiveness. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Jesus. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they besought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. I'm sure Jesus was just happy that they brought him to him. He goes, son, be happy. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. But the Bible says that there were some people that heard that. How many know there's always people going to watch what you're doing, going to be criticizing you, whatever, it doesn't matter. But here Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. He's blaspheming. Because they thought that only God can forgive sins. But we've just found where Jesus was talking about we can forgive sins. How many know, do you guys know that you can forgive sins? When people do you wrong, you can forgive them. You can. You have that ability. Especially now that you're a Christian. Because within you is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he died for sins. Not going, but anyway, here's verse 3. It says, this man blasphemes. Verse 4 says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. Can you see that healing does flow in forgiveness? Jesus said, I forgive you. You are forgiven. And then he would say something. He said, son, all I see is the blood. See, Jesus looks on folks different, doesn't he? He sees, I mean, even those folks that are out there, he knows that he paid for their lives. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, he does. He looks at them and he says, yeah. We might want to blame them for stuff. We might want to, you know, hold unforgiveness on those folks that are out there, but they don't know Jesus, do they? They don't know. And unless you say something, but Jesus would say, hey, it's under the blood. I paid for them, Henry, just like I paid for you. That blood, so powerful. And then Jesus said, hey, okay, what's harder? He said, here it is. I'll show you. It says, rise up and walk. And that man got up and he walked and went to his house. And people were amazed. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you something, but it's important that you understand who you are. Because Jesus knew exactly who he was when he was saying these things. And it's important that we know who we are. Because forgiveness does flow like a river, if you'll allow it to. If you will allow, folks, I'm telling you, man, I had an incident in Big O over there. You guys heard about that. And over there, forgiveness has to flow. I saw the man standing out in front of the thing. I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not forgiving him. God, I forgive him. I forgive him. And I walk by that Big O every once a week almost, and I say, Lord, I forgive him. I forgive him. Now, you know, I don't have anything against him, brother. I'd love to lead him to the Lord. I'd love to. We've got to walk in forgiveness. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. You got to know who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. I'm going to run some scriptures on you here real quick. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Is that right? Are you a new creature in Christ? Because you have given Jesus, your heart to Jesus creates in you a new man. You don't operate the same way. You shouldn't operate the same way. Lord, we got to learn how to operate in the kingdom of God. But then, you know, but at least try. Is that right? Don't just, well, I'm not forgiving them. Well, what about Jesus? Yeah, well, we'll work it out when I get to heaven. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us, see that, to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling or buying back the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, everybody say now then.
Now.
Say we are the ambassadors for God. Is that right? We are the ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God, for he has made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that a good deal? Is that a good deal? It really is. He died for you, took your sins away, placed his righteousness upon you because you believe in him. Isn't that a good deal? That is a good deal. What did you have to do for it? Believe. Just believe him. And he said, I will do it. Isn't that cool? That's a good deal. It's a deal you don't want to pass up. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this. So if you want to hold on to your unforgiveness, I'm going to say to you this morning, think about what I'm saying to you, because Christ has made you a new creation and a new creature. Unforgiveness should have no place in your life because you are no longer alive into to who you are. Your old man has passed away. You've become new. And here's what it says in Galatians chapter 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. You see that? What does that mean? When he died on that cross, you were there. Your sins were with him. Isn't that cool? That's a deal. You weren't even, how old were you when Jesus died? Come on. Holy man. 18. He's 18 right now. But his sins were on that cross. Isn't that cool? Because God knows the beginning all the way up to the end. And when Christ died on the cross, every sin of the world was placed onto that cross. Oh, my goodness. You might not like it, but I think I'm preaching pretty good this morning. Praise God. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. The sins of the whole world were placed upon him at that day. So you were crucified with Christ. That's what it says right there. Isn't that right? Nevertheless, you live. Yet it's not you that lives, but who? Christ in you. And the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Isn't that cool? What a deal. What a deal. Hallelujah. So if you want to hold on to unforgiveness, read your word. Read the Bible. Go over some of these scriptures I'm showing you today, because unforgiveness is not part of who you are. You have been forgiven by the creator of the universe. You have been forgiven. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28. Says this, wherefore I made a minister. This is Paul the Apostle talking. Wherefore I have made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you people in Green Valley. You can say that. Or in Sarita, House of Worship, or wherever. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. Who are his saints? We are. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe that he died for your sins, you are a saint. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a saint. Look at your other neighbor and say, yeah, you too. You are a saint. Hallelujah. And he says this. Wherever I am made a minister according to dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. Here's the mystery. It's coming up. To whom God would make known what is the mystery, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who you are, folks. You are a son or a daughter of God. Do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's who you are. Jesus has washed all of your sins away. And he's created in you a new man or new woman. And now you are in Christ and he dwells in you. Oh my goodness. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may do what? Present you what? Every man perfect. Perfect. Everybody say perfect. You put the purr in it like a cat. Perfect. Yeah. Because I want to say that you may be presented perfect. Is that okay? Say it again. Perfect. 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 The reason, can I tell you just the reason I'm doing that is just so that you will have something to hold on to. Tomorrow, tonight, whenever, when you're going to assignment, God has will present me perfect. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself because it's who you are. You are in Christ. When he does a job, you know what is impossible for men to do? If you yield to him, you're going to find that it's very possible. You are perfect in Christ. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to just say to you is that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, the last verse, he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Jesus is saying it. He's come out of the parable now, and he's saying something very directly to us. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother of their trespasses. Earlier in that scripture, it says they were that when the master put him in jail, he was there to be tormented. Can I tell you something? That unforgiveness will torment you. It really will. Every time you're walking down the aisle in Safeway, you're going to see that somebody that you haven't forgiven. You're going to turn around. There's torment there. There's no freedom there. That's not freedom. That is torment. And God is saying, I'm releasing you from that. It's a dead work. Unforgiveness is a dead work. Let it work. Please let it work in your life, and you're going to find that you're going to be so glad that it did. Because you are a man or a woman of God, period. In Jesus' name. If you will stand up, I'd like to call the worship team this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor John. Hallelujah. Right now, what I want to do is just I want you to, as you stand up, just close your eyes. And I'm believing that God is going to remind you of some things. Sometimes we put off in the back of our minds or put off out of our memory the things that somebody's done for us. I mean, somebody that's done to us. Or maybe somebody, maybe some of you have somebody right now you can say, I know I need to forgive them. And I tell you, forgiveness is a flow. So as you, as you've got your eyes closed and as you're thinking and you've got somebody on your mind, I would ask you to say right now, Father, would you say this with me? Father, help me to forgive them and let healing flow. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. If you said that prayer, I believe that God heard you with that person in mind. If there's anybody in the house that has never given your heart to the Lord, and you've always kind of wondered about these things, but you never really thought too much about it, but now this morning, something about the message this morning, something about maybe the music has been getting a hold of your heart, and you're sensing something, maybe you need to allow God to come into your life. And what I want to do this morning, if you will say this prayer with me, dear Heavenly Father, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead and washed all my sins away. Say away one more time, away. Lord, come into my heart. I believe you died for me. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. If you said that prayer.